T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game on this Thursday. Going to be a loaded show. Got a lot of fun coming up for you, and want you to answer the questions that we're about to ask in rapid fire. Hey, the BetQL network available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Wagertainment for every fan, morning, noon, and night. One-stop shop for betting information from national experts. BetQL network only on the Odyssey app and on the BetQL network this morning. The New York Football Giants, Hugh, are 2.5-point favorites over the Atlanta Falcons.
So what does that mean? That's like a push, ain't it?
Pretty much, because you get most teams get 3 points for home.
3 points, right? So, yeah, it's like a half a point. So they got to – okay, got you.
Yeah, pretty much. Most teams get 3 points for home. There's an occasional team that doesn't get any points for home, but that's kind of rare. Miami, Florida had that for a long time where they got no credit for being the home team.
You mean the Dolphins or the Hurricanes?
No, the Hurricanes.
Okay.
Because they were getting no fans. And so people said – not exactly home field advantage. Also tonight, you should know Panthers-Texans, our coverage begins at 8. So if you're in your car, you're out there working, doing God's work, and out and about, and you want to listen to a little bit of the Carolina-Houston game, it'll be live in your home of the NFL Sports Radio.
Kind of cool out there tonight, too. This might be sweatshirt weather, hoodie weather.
I haven't been out this morning, but it looks like it's kind of chilly out there.
Oh, no, it's kind of chilly.
I ran 4.5 miles this morning, John, 53 degrees.
It's not warm.
Yeah,
53.
It's supposed to be even colder tomorrow, like in the 40s up here. I think, you know, way outside the perimeter. WOTP.
I'm not ready for it.
Like 45 tomorrow morning.
Not ready. It'll warm up as soon as the sun comes up. Don't worry about it.
Because Hugh and I were talking about this, I'm going to actually kind of skip you to begin this rapid fire, just real quick here to Orrin and Abe. Is it just my imagination, or you know, and maybe it's just my impression? Is Ozzie underrated, Orrin? Yes or no? Just a yes or no question.
Underrated?
Yes.
Yes. And you, I mean, just, he doesn't play a very glamorous position. Like, maybe he was a first baseman or a third baseman or a corner outfielder, but just second base is such like an unsung position that, I mean, you can be a guy like an Ozzie and get 30 and 100 and operate in relative anonymity.
So,
yeah, it's, I think, yes, he is underrated, but I think the position he plays has a lot to do with it.
You know, I hadn't really thought about that, Abe, but I think Orrin's actually right. Of all the positions, and you think the, you know, middle relief and second base, but second base of all the positions on the field is probably the least glamorous in a lot of ways. So, it's, you know what? You know, that's a fair point. Is Ozzie underrated, Abe?
It's really tough to judge being here in Atlanta because of how we speak about him. Nationally, I would probably say yes. I would probably agree with you on that. You know, I kind of feel the same way about Trae Young. I think people who sit and watch him, not in a highlight reel, but game after game after game, probably have a different feel. So I would say, yeah, he probably is nationally. I don't think he's overlooked or underrated here in Atlanta, though.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate him. And we have him under a long-term contract, Hugh. He and Ronald. Now we just got to get Duvall and Freeman done.
Duvall!
All right, here we go. In rapid fire, you can answer your, you know, whether you think Ozzie is underrated. You can also answer this question. We'll begin with one NFL expert, 10-year veteran, 3-time All-Pro Hugh Douglas to talk about the NFL and about the Falcons, because Hugh is going to host, co-host, as he does every week with John Chuckery, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sunday morning. Hugh Douglas, do the Falcons find the end zone against the Giants?
Yes.
Who scores first, or Falcons. Who scores the only touchdown?
Okay, Falcons score first.
No. I'm talking about the Falcons. Let me rephrase this again.
Yeah, rephrase it then, John. Okay. Freaking rephrase it.
Do the Falcons find the end zone against the Giants?
I'll split it. Yes, I said yes.
Okay, you said yes. Okay, so who scores the first or the only TD for the
Falcons?
No.
Oh, who scores
which
the first?
Player? Which individual?
Falcon. I'm gonna go Kyle. I'm gonna go Kyle Pitts. I'm gonna say Kyle Pitts gets a touchdown.
Okay, so I'll split it into two. I probably should have done that. My bad. Oren, do the Falcons find the end zone against the Giants?
Yes.
And who scores the first or only touchdown?
My fantasy wide receiver, Calvin Ridley.
Abe, do the Falcons find the end zone against the Giants, and who scores the first or the only touchdown?
Sure do. Going to be a second and two from goal from the 2-yard line.
He got to go
and,
in details.
Davis. How about Mike Davis finds the end zone?
Because that's his guy.
Not my guy. Kyle Pitts is on my fantasy team.
I don't have any Falcons on my fantasy team.
You don't know who you have on your fantasy team, you? You might. You might have some.
Bunk. Dude, that's fair. Hey, Bunk, do we have any Falcons on the fantasy team?
Yeah, wake up, Bunk. It's 7:05 in the morning.
Wake up, Bunk. Bunk is probably already up anyway because the baby's up.
Yeah, true. He probably is up. I'll go yes. The Falcons do find the end zone, and I actually will agree with Abe Gordon.
Yeah, baby.
Is going to score this week. And, you know, here that'll be interesting here because I think it's fair to say that we haven't seen quite yet the impact of Mike Davis. We've seen – because who's been – Hugh, here's a kind of a bonus question. Who's been the best player on offense for the Falcons?
You know what's funny, though? Like, so when you look at, like, electrifying runs, when you look at Cordarrelle Patterson has had electrifying runs.
Right.
But Mike Davis has been pretty decent at the running back spot.
But you would say who's been the best Falcon on offense, you would say Patterson, correct?
Yeah.
Do we count offensive linemen?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, everybody.
Do we count kickers?
Young-Wei Koo has been like the most consistent
scorer. He's not on offense, he's on special teams.
Fair enough.
He scores points for the offense, though.
Well, he scores points for the team, but so do defensive players when they get a safety. He's not on offense. So who's is everybody going to say Patterson? There's a little bonus question.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, they're fine. Who's been the best offensive player, Oren?
So far for this team, I would say the best offensive player has been the guy whose name you have not heard said at all at any point during any game, and I'm going to say Chris Lidstrom.
Okay, well, fair enough. I haven't broken down the video to be able to say that, but I'll run with that. But I said Patterson with Hugh. Who do you say, Abe?
Yeah, I understand the thought process behind Patterson. He had a 10-yard run. He had 11 yards in the game on the ground. He had 1 yard, one run for 10 yards, and he had 6 runs for 1 yard. So I'm not going crazy here. I understand it, but I'll actually say Kyle Pitts, which is scary because no one here thinks we've seen the best Kyle Pitts. But what is he, 4th or 5th in the NFL among yards tight ends? We haven't even seen him be very good.
Yes, at 2 games.
So I think it's a little misleading, but I think Kyle Pitts has actually performed well. 70 led the team in receiving yards last week.
All right, this next rapid-fire question, guys, is called College Football Upset Watch. Now, let me walk you through it. All right, the question here, does the first team – I have 5 games. Does the first team, which is the favorite in the game that I mentioned, does that team need to be on upset watch, or do they got this? So the first team I mentioned in these 5 games, do they need to be, and we'll go individually, we'll do one game around, I'm not going to do all 5, I'll go one game around, and then we'll do the second game, okay? Is the first team I mentioned. So in this case, Michigan at home against Rutgers. Hugh, does Michigan need to be on upset watch, or do they got this easy?
They got this.
Oren, does Michigan need to be on upset watch, or they got this?
Michigan got this.
Yeah, I agree. Michigan's got it.
Okay. Rutgers, by the way, you should know, is off to a 3-0 start.
They're still Rutgers.
They're still Rutgers. Yeah. North Carolina against Georgia Tech. Mercedes-Benz Stadium this week as Georgia Tech gets into Mercedes-Benz Stadium against North Carolina. Does North Carolina need to be on upset watch?
Upset watch. I'm going to go upset watch. I'm going to go ahead and be a Georgia Tech honk today. Upset watch.
Oren, does North Carolina need to be on upset watch, or they got this?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see this week, though, if that game against Clemson was real or was it a fluke. So I'm going to say yes, so they need to be on upset watch.
Abe, does North Carolina need to be on upset watch, or they got this?
Before I give you my answer, John, I just want you to know, I know what you're doing, and I know where this is headed, okay? Yes, they do need to be on upset watch. I think Georgia Tech is trending in the right direction, and Yates is getting comfortable. Absolutely. I think Georgia Tech wins.
There you go.
Ooh, I know this is
actually
going
Abe, no, you don't, because the game that you're thinking I have on this list.
I'm telling you, you have to be going there. It has to be headed that way.
It's not on there. Oklahoma at home against West Virginia.
Oklahoma.
Need to be on upset watch.
Oklahoma, you know, that's a tough one.
West Virginia just beat Virginia Tech.
My God.
I'm going to say Oklahoma got this.
All right, Big 12 opener for Oklahoma. They have struggled out of the gate. They're hosting West Virginia. What do you think, Oren? Upset watch?
Yeah, they need to be on upset watch. West Virginia can run the football, and if that's one thing you can do to keep a spread offense off the field is run the football well, yeah, West Virginia.
What time is this game at, John? Do you have that in front of you? I don't have it right in front of me.
That's probably that's got to be the Gus Johnson, Big Fox thing.
I do agree. I think Oklahoma's got to go on upset watch here. I'm not sure they actually lose. They've seemed out of focus. Maybe this is the week. But, yeah, they're on upset watch for sure.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go the other way. I think Oklahoma's going to kill them. Clemson against NC State. They're on the road in Raleigh, Hugh. We know all the problems. NC State's not a bad team. They're 2-1.
Clemson got this.
I like Devin Ealy.
I like Clemson's defense. They got this.
Zonovan Knight, their running back. I think Dave Doran's got a good team. Tough place to play.
You're not fooling any of us, John. Okay, you can't sell us on NC State. I'm not buying it either. Yeah. I'm going with you on this. I got Clemson.
Need to be on upset watch or not?
This is the first time we're going to see Clemson look like the real Clemson football team this weekend. So, no, they're not on upset watch.
Final home game. Final game is Florida at home against Tennessee. After that, gut-wrenching performance.
Florida at home against Tennessee?
Yep. It was.
Florida got this.
Oren, Florida at home against Tennessee. Do the Gators need to be on upset watch?
No, they're gonna destroy the balls.
And Abe,
no, Florida's got this. We're handling business this week.
Okay, just want to check. Final question here is
you're really not going to do it. Okay.
No, I'm not going to do it because
I called you out. You switched it late. That's okay.
No, I didn't switch it late. All right, hang on here. I'm taking a picture of this right now. Okay, let's see here. Here's my camera. I hope the sound is on. I'm going to take a picture of this, and then you can see this. All right, I just took a picture. I'm going to text it to you immediately here, Abe, so that you understand that I'm not I'm protecting myself, folks. This is what it does, right? That's done. It's not on the list. It is National Hat Month, Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
Okay. What is your favorite kind of hat?
What's my
Do you wear any hats, and what is your favorite kind?
Bucket.
He just likes buckets of all kinds.
I like bucket.
Yeah, I see you wear.
You know what? A bucket hat, bucket hats, especially now since I have hair, because I don't get haircuts like normal people do. So I look like a person who is unkempt right now. So yeah, I'd like to throw the bucket on, and that kind of hides the back of the head, because I got that thing going with your back hair and your hairline grow together.
Hey, what now, Hugh Douglas? Too much information? Oh yeah, then thank you for that.
I'm getting a haircut tomorrow, so it's all good. I'm getting a haircut tomorrow, so I'll be good. I'll be good to go.
Do you wear hats at all, Oren, and what kind of?
I used to be a big hat wearer. The fedora is kind of trendy, but now the newsboy hat and the Kango style hat.
You don't get that. That's the Jason Longshore thing.
Well, Jason can rock the.
You don't get that.
Jason can do that, but I rocked those before I knew Jason Longshore. But the newsboy hat.
Yeah, I got a couple.
I will rock the newsboy hat.
Oh, the newsboy hat is cool.
The newsboy hat is cool.
But
Abe,
Jason Longshore does.
I don't know that I've ever seen
game.
You wear a hat.
I don't wear hats to work. I do wear hats.
And what do you wear?
I'm a loser, plain just
baseball
old
cap.
School baseball cap. Yeah. I don't wear them backwards very often, though. I don't think they look right on me backwards.
You know who wear their baseball caps backwards? I can't say it on the radio, but it starts with a D. Way to play the music right on time.
First or last name?
No, the person that wears them starts it like the it's a description. It's not an actual person.
Oh,
it's D, and then it's another word.
Hey, break time, guys!
I wear my baseball hats forward, and that's what I wear baseball hats. I don't really look. I tried to wear a cowboy hat once. I looked just kind of goofy, and I went, "Yeah, man, this is."
Did you wear a cowboy hat while you were sitting at the high school games?
Quick break. NFL headlines next. We'll have to answer that around the corner with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. NFL headlines brought to you by Cool Ray Heating and Cooling's Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. Here we go. Week 3 of the National Football League begins tonight. Carolina Panthers trying to go to 3-0 as they go to Houston to face the Texans. You can hear the game on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game beginning at 8 p.m. this evening. And welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Carolina, Hugh, is one of those teams that we said, you know, we think they're going to be a little bit better. And look at the start they're off to. Suddenly they win this game against Houston, and, you know, 3-0 start, that'll go a long way to, you know, potentially, I guess, get – well, I was going to say that, but, you know, I don't know how 17 games – I wonder how 17 games is going to be different than 16. I know it's only one more game.
What do you mean? What do you mean how it's going to be – what are you talking about, John?
I mean, all right, let me rephrase it. Is it going to – is it going to make a dramatic difference?
As far as?
The, you know, the number of wins – in a 16-game season, 10-6, that gets you in the playoffs, right? Almost always.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, but I don't understand. What's the biggest change? What,
well,
the extra game?
Is 10 wins still good enough?
Or to get in? It all depends on what everybody else is doing. Like, if you're tight, it's going to be the strength of schedule probably is going to come in. Same thing it is when you have 16 games. It's just probably the strength of schedule is going to come into play and things of that nature. So, yeah, probably going to be a little bit of that.
Well, I guess I say it in this regard. I guess maybe part of my hope is that 0-2 – isn't as bad in a 17-game season because you have that extra game that if you
it's
win
not,
this
John.
Week.
Huh? It's not. 0-2 is not as bad as you would one would think. I mean, it's not a great start. And when you right. look at the history of the NFL, 0-2 doesn't mean you're making it – normally you ain't making any noise. But the Eagles started off 0-2, if I'm not mistaken, the first year they opened the link. And they ended up still going to the playoffs. So, you know, yeah, it can happen.
The Falcons this week talking about the buzzword around Flowery Branch was confidence because the team needs a jolt of it. And there was, you know, a little bit of confidence in the kind of in the meat of the game, the beginning of the game and the end of the game against Tampa. They were just totally, you know, worked. But during the kind of the meat of the game, they played, you know, fairly well. So Dante Fowler, who is somebody who made a play last week, who's trying to get, you know, back to being, you know, an impactful player, talked about that confidence with this team and with himself.
We just found out who we were. We got a good groove. We had some momentum going into it, and we knew that, you know, we had confidence in ourselves, and we knew we could do it, and we could probably pull something out, maybe pull a win out.
All right. Hugh, you played the position at a really high level. Dante Fowler, are you starting to see signs that
he was active? Okay. He was active, John. I mean, listen, if you were playing anybody but Tom Brady, we probably have a win. I mean, that's the truth. I know it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow because of the messenger who is Dante Fowler. You hear what he's saying? Cause even I did, you look at me like, man, what are you talking about? But he's telling the truth. I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I wasn't sitting here and tell you that, you know, he's on to something. And confidence is a thing. If it had been anybody else but Tom Brady, man, you probably would have won that game. So, I mean, there is something to build off of. That's why I say this game against the Giants, John, is winnable. Daniel Jones, I'm not afraid of him. I'm so not afraid of him, I can't even remember the man's name half the time. I called him Josh Daniels the other day. You know, so, yeah, it's one of those things where you could win this game, and you put yourself in a position where, honestly, John, you could be 2-2. Mm-hmm. And now you had this fan base feeling a little bit different about you. Because right now everybody looking at you with that side eye. You're getting the strong side eye from a lot of folks right now. You come out of this thing 2-2, you get this thing going, and you get some momentum going, you get that confidence built. This season is still salvageable, you know. It's still salvageable. I look at it like this. We had 5 preseason games. We didn't do well in none of them. So now the season starts. The season starts this week.
Matt Ryan also talking about the mindset of the team as they head to New Jersey on Sunday.
That's the kind of mindset we have to have every week and have that intensity and urgency to go out there and get the job done. And, you know, that's something that I'm going to try and provide all week.
Okay. Yeah.
That wasn't enough for you?
No.
What else you need him to hear? Do you hear him say?
Let's move on, huh?
I'm just saying, at what point, like
yeah, I don't know what.
Like,
he
words
say
are just words. They're words.
Exactly.
You know, some people, they comfort you, but what else can he say? You know? I mean, I know people get tired of looking at Matt with the hat on and saying the same thing and all the other good stuff, but, I mean, what else do you want him to say? I mean, he's not telling no lie. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, I'm with you. I mean, you know, it's just
Matt Ryan loves baseball caps, by the way.
Yes, he does.
You know what? That's the thing. Like, I get it. Like, people see that cap and they hear the same thing and they want to just run up on Matt and slap that cap off his head. That's not the right move to do. But I get it. I get you're upset because he keeps saying the same thing. But I mean, you know what? What can you do? It is what it is.
Meantime, the Chicago Bears, and since Matt Ryan is tied to Justin Fields in some people's minds because of the nature of everything. Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, talking about Andy Dalton being dinged up, and then Matt Nagy was, told by management, he seems to think it was his decision, which is laughable, about who's going to be the starting quarterback this week.
Andy is still battling through his injury. Like I said to you the other day, we're glad that it's not his ACL. We're not expecting him to practice today or to have him available this week, so he'll be week to week. Justin's going to be our starter, and prep starts right now.
And so here we go with the pride of Harrison High School getting his first National Football League start. Here's Justin.
Congratulations to him.
Justin?
How ready are you for this stage and this opportunity?
I think I'm ready. I've been preparing for this moment a long time, so my mindset hasn't changed. I'm still going to play like football and just prepare the best I can, like I said before, and just get a lot of practice reps in and just study, and, you know, just get more comfortable and more confident with the plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting.
He is so ready.
Yeah, no, and these rookies have looked like rookies. Zach Wilson has thrown 5 interceptions. Trevor Lawrence has thrown 5 interceptions. Primarily,
you know who hasn't looked like a rookie though, John?
Who?
Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones has looked probably the best of the rookies so far. But even he had a couple of rookie moments.
He's gonna have rookie moments, but Mac Jones.
Yeah, he's looked like the best of the rookies so far. You know, Trevor Lawrence has 5 interceptions, but that's predominantly because he's playing Alabama every week. So,
You know what? I gotta say something. My teammate just texted me. He said we started out 1-3. No, Pink, I'm talking. I don't think we were playing. The year where they opened, when they opened the link, it was 0-2, wasn't it? Oh no, you were still there. It probably was 1-3, but they were terrible. Bottom line, because they lost to the Patriots, I think it was. They went 2 games back to back. They lost one. They lost. They lost.
You mean
one
like
to the
Drew Bledsoe Patriots?
No, it was. No, I wasn't playing. I think it was Tom Brady was there. It was the. Wasn't it 0-2? I think it was 0-2. But anyway, they went on to the playoffs, but they were horrible.
Again, you have 3 games here with the Giants, Washington, and the Jets before the bye. And you're playing both those New York teams. They're both 0-2, and Washington's got an issue at quarterback right now. I mean, so they got a great defensive line. So you're playing Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke, and Zach Wilson in your next 3 games. Not exactly playing Jalen Hurts and
but Daniel Jones can move though. See,
Jalen
that's the
Hurts
thing.
Up into a rarefied air here, but I think he's actually. I've always thought he's.
But Daniel Jones can move though. See, that's the problem.
Yeah, Daniel Jones can move. So can Taylor Heineke too.
Yeah, but you've shown that you've had some, adversity when it comes to playing against mobile quarterbacks.
No, and you have. I mean, this is why, you got to be – yeah, right. It'd be interesting to see if Dean Pease, changes up things. Dean Pease said, we're trying to spy you. I think they were trying to contain Jalen Hurts. They just didn't have anybody here that could catch him. He was just too elusive. There are a couple of guys in the NFL. You could sit here and say, we're going to spy Lamar Jackson. We're going to do it – or Russell Wilson. They're just some guys that you just can't – Kyler Murray. I mean, they're just guys that are just too elusive. It doesn't matter who you put on them. You're not going to get them. They're just not going to – their escapability is just too great. They're too fast. They're ones, that are seeing downfield, moving forward, seeing where the blockers are, and so you're at a big disadvantage. But let's see if they can contain you. Just contain. And really, isn't it, Hugh, about – their offense being able to actually establish the run like they started to do in the first couple of drives against Philadelphia. I would think that that would be the goal this week at the beginning of the game. We're going to see them go run heavy like they did against Philadelphia, correct?
I think the biggest thing that they have to do, John, is just try to get something going, like consistently. I mean, I think when you talk about the last 2 games you played in, they had like plays in spurts that were good, but they didn't have anything like consistent going for them. I think that's what you're trying to do. And part of that is because you played some really, really tough defenses out the gate. I mean, real tough defenses out the gate. So it's kind of hard to get a little bit of consistency. I think that's the biggest thing going in here, is trying to get consistent pass or consistent run. You know, we've talked about establishing the run for the last couple of weeks. I think that'll probably be what they're going to try to go to. But anything that is going to be consistent for them, that's what they need to do.
Hall of Fame nominations came out. Quick shout to any of your buddies on the list.
Robert Mathis. Robert Mathis is on the list, D-line. But, hey, him and Dwight Freeney there for a while, man, had a little bit of envy because they got after the quarterback. So, yeah, shout out to my man Robert Mathis.
College football coming up. Some of the burning questions, what Kirby Smart says about the status of JT Daniels. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A loaded Thursday show. We got a lot coming up. Jason Longshore in the next hour updating you on the status of Joseph Martinez. Let's cross our fingers here. Also, Roddy Jones, former Tech Star, ACC Network, to talk about where we stand in college football. There was a big college football, potentially a big college football story yesterday. Hugh Douglas, the commissioners of the 10, you know, conferences, and the athletic director at Notre Dame, Jack Swarbrick, all got together and did a kind of a conference meeting here in terms of expanding the playoffs to 12 teams. And then what they were going to do here, Hugh, is they were going to have this big meeting. They were all going to agree on kind of the format for the 12 teams, and then they were going to send it out to – it's sort of like how Congress does, right? They send it out to everybody, and then they're going to vote on it to see how this goes. Well, they get into the meeting yesterday, Hugh. They start fighting. Well, not fist fighting, but they just start disagreeing with each other because the group of five commissioners, you know, the Sun Belt and the American and the Mountain West, those guys, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys and gals. They're all saying that in any, expanded playoff, they have to be guaranteed to have spots in for the group of five, at least one or two. And the Power Five is going, no, we're not going to let you guys get a guaranteed spot. You know, we don't care about no Coastal Carolina. We don't care about no Appalachian. We don't care about I guess Houston will be a Power 5 team soon. But, Cincinnati, we don't care about you. We're not guaranteeing you nothing. And, yeah, and then that all kind of broke down.
I mean, that usually happens when you start telling people what you're not going to do for them, especially when they're coming to the table to negotiate. Don't sound like you negotiate. Sound like you just tell them, no, bro, we ain't about to do this.
Yeah, we're not about to do this, is right. And so that all broke down. So the expansion of the playoff apparently is on hold for the time being, and because the Power Five is sort of saying that they want to run things. Look, I think this is all going to go to, the whole point of kind of the whole unspoken point of the expansion of the SEC and inviting Oklahoma and Texas, the whole point of this ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12 alliance. It's all about power, Hugh. It's all about money, and it's all about, getting away from the NCAA, and it's all about breaking apart. And until they do and form their own, there'll be a new – suddenly, Hugh, they'll be announcing a new division of college football, whatever they call it, that the big boys go to, and then they'll be able to make their own rules, in terms of how big the roster sizes are. They'll be just making all their own how you recruit. They'll make their own rules. And that's what's going to have to happen before I think we see any expansion of the playoffs. So stand by for that. Meantime,
so they did all that. They did all that flying in and meeting and ain't getting nothing done.
Yeah, getting nothing done. So we're still at four teams. And to make that 4-team playoff, of course, if you're the Georgia Dogs, that's probably going to mean at the very least you got to be 12-0 going to the SEC title game in Atlanta. And hopefully you win that, and then you're absolutely in. You'd be the number one seed. Or even if you have a tough loss, not that I'm not trying to put any kibosh here on Georgia, you'd still get in to the playoff and the SEC would get two teams in, which is not out of the question. Kirby Smart, head coach of the Dogs, talking this week about the opener on the road in the SEC, which is as easy as it gets for anyone on the road at Vanderbilt. But, boy, listen to Coach Smart, and he doesn't think this is going to be too easy.
The one thing that you consistently see when you go play at Vandy, it's always a really tough physical game. They've been that way when James Franklin was there, when Derek was there. It'd be no different. These guys are going to play hard, play physical football. And we don't get into measuring ourselves against the opponent. We measure ourselves against ourselves. And we're going to do that every single day in practice.
Yeah, okay. You know, that's fair enough. They're going to measure themselves against themselves. And you can't, Hugh, you can't go in, you know, too lightly, because you go in too lightly and one of two things could happen. One is somebody else, you know, everything starts flowing their way, and all of a sudden you're having to, you know, scrape and claw in the, you know, late stages of the third quarter to put somebody away, and you don't really want to do that. And the second reason is you go in and think, you know, you got this, and your mindset isn't prepared. You end up getting injured because you're not going 100%.
Complacency, John, that's what you're trying to, you're talking about. Like, don't believe your press clippings. That's what Coach Smart is doing. That's Georgia's right now. Out, like, you look at their schedule. The schedule is very, very,
manageable.
You know, I was going to say favorable, but okay. Manageable works too. You don't want to get complacent. You don't want to go in thinking, you know, you put your helmet down with the G on the side and you know, that's it. We got this. Can't do that. That's going to be the biggest obstacle that Georgia probably is going to have to face this year, is being complacent and feeling like, you know, you have arrived. They got to stay hungry, man, and they got to stay humble. And that's why he's preaching to what he's preaching. Don't let somebody come up that ain't supposed to beat you. So you got to do everything in your power to keep that hunger burning inside your belly and not get complacent. That I said it going into the season, John. When you look at the schedule, we've been talking about this all offseason. Georgia's schedule, if they get past Clemson, is very favorable for them to get to the college playoffs. And Georgia's your biggest obstacle. Alabama's your biggest obstacle. The only thing you got to do now, man, is just do what you're supposed to do. Stay humble, stay hungry, and take care of your business. You do that, you'll be exactly where you want to be when it's all said and done.
Also from Coach Smart, talking about the status of JT Daniels.
Played with a high efficiency. Still a couple decisions there that on boots and nakeds where he's got to make better decisions with the ball. But you can't argue with how he played on third down. He was efficient with the ball, made good decisions. The one pick was late, but he did some good things. So, again, it'll be based on day-to-day, how we practice and how guys practice in practice. Practice matters.
So, you know, JT Daniels is out there, and one of the things that's true is that the Heisman race is wide open, and the Heisman Trophy is going to go to – this is why one of the reasons it frustrates me. The Heisman Trophy isn't going to the best player necessarily in football. It will go to the quarterback of the best team, and you know, that's the way it works.
It's been like that forever, hasn't it?
Yeah, just about. And so you start looking at that Heisman race. But we also start looking forward to the draft. Now, most of the draft experts are saying this is a weak quarterback draft that's coming up. But as we follow the college football season, it'll be interesting to see what quarterbacks develop into the more desirable quarterbacks, especially when we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons, because of the fact that the Atlanta Falcons may be again in a position where we're talking about they're going to select a quarterback, Hugh. And in a weak quarterback draft, or at least what they say is a weak quarterback draft, we'll have to keep our eyes on, you know, Matt Corral at Ole Miss, who's putting up the most gaudy numbers in the nation. Carson Strong is ranked as the second best quarterback in the country by most of the draft boards. He's a quarterback at Nevada. I have not seen Nevada play this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a chance. The next time they're on late at night on a Saturday night, I'm tuning the Nevada Wolfpack in. I want to see this kid. I haven't seen him play, so I want to know if he's any good or not. Spencer Rattler's high on that list. Saw him play last week against Nebraska. Yeah. Was not impressed.
Spencer Rattler, benefiting tremendously from the NILs. And you know what's funny, John? It was on my Facebook page, and, you know, I get a lot of sports stories, and they were talking about how – I think it's Foot Locker or one of those champs or whatever. He's doing a – he has a NIL with the shoe company. So the people – you should see the people that respond. You need to worry about football. You need to go ahead and do this and that. I mean, it's just hilarious. Sometimes – I know it's mean, and, you know, people say mean stuff to folks – but sometimes it's kind of hilarious to see how creative people are when they start, mm-hmm. you know, slinging arrows at folks and some of the stuff that they say. So, yeah, they were all over him talking about you just need to worry about football. You need to stick to football.
Right. And it's great. Well, yeah, quit reading your press clippings kind of thing.
Yeah, basically.
Right. The four first round graded quarterbacks, Matt Corral, Carson Strong in Nevada, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, and then Falcons fans might want to tune into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, North Carolina's Sam Howell. Also as a first-round grade. Now, JT Daniels isn't graded out, though JT Daniels could be in the draft, and JT Daniels could win the Heisman, and JT Daniels could be the first or second quarterback taken. We'll have to see. But he's not graded because he's not a senior. but he could be in the draft. He's draft eligible. And then there's Malik Willis. Malik Willis is the quarterback at Liberty. He Roswell High star, went to Auburn, transferred to Liberty, and a lot of people are thinking, because I know there's a note on here about Willis here from Abe saying that he's playing Syracuse this week. Malik Willis is a dual-threat quarterback at Liberty, Hugh, that a lot of people, that if he had stayed at Auburn and he were the starting quarterback at Auburn, you'd be talking about, hey, Malik Willis, look at this guy. You know, he's one of those guys that just, he went to a smaller school and so gets lost a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's that kind of dual-threat quarterback that a lot of Falcons fans, you know, are going, hey, listen, that's what we want. And he's a local kid. He's Roswell High guy. So, we'll have to see. You know, I mean, Atlanta kicks out these quarterbacks. We know that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that and the one thing that holds true, John, when you talk to people online about quarterbacks, dual threat, that's what they want to see. They want to see that. They want that guy.
Malik Willis is a guy that if you get a chance to tune in, if you're shooting around there, you know, and you see the Liberty-Syracuse game, you might want to just tune in for just a minute, okay,
see
see what Malik Willis looks like, just to keep, you know, and I, because if we start talking about Malik Willis as a potential draft pick for the Atlanta Falcons, you're going to want, wait a second, who? Again, Roswell High, went to Auburn, you know, highly rated recruit. Didn't want to sit there at Auburn, so he said, I want to go play somewhere, and he ends up going to Liberty, which is interesting. And he's a really talented quarterback. He put up a lot of big, gaudy numbers, that's for sure. I like Sam Howell, too. Sam Howell can move with his feet, too. If you haven't seen Sam Howell played at North Carolina, Sam Howell can play. Okay, Sam. So I have to see Carson Strong. Spencer Rattler, I'm with you. I think Spencer Rattler, I've been reading a little bit, too, of Spencer Rattler. Arthur Smith, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, talked to Dukes and Bell. We have the interview. We've got a good chunk of it. We want you to hear it ahead of the game against the Giants. We'll play that next. The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.